With all the noise in the world, do you hear the voice of God? Your calendar tells you what to do, but do you remember who you are? Being comes before doing. This is a call to put first things first. Return to the Lord with this daily pattern of prayer and devotion. Set aside this time as a sanctuary. Find a space free of distraction and follow this pattern. I'm Jeff Clater, here again with J.G. John Groff. We are in the sanctuary of historic Messiah Lutheran Church at Grand and Pestalozzi in South City, St. Louis, Missouri. It's Wednesday, and the focus is my daily callings.
This winter on the Daily Pattern, we're in a series called One Word. Each day we'll take one word, a feeling or circumstance, and bring a word from God to it. Let the word of God speak to your life.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Making the sign of the cross, I say, O God, I have much to do today. I cannot fulfill all my responsibilities without divine assistance. You have given me purpose. You have called me to important work. And so I commence my work only by your name, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite my Lord into this time, into this space. Lord Jesus, you are the vine. I am a branch. Apart from you, I can do nothing. Stay with me. I want to abide in you and bear fruit with my life. I confess my sins. Lord, there is much in me that needs reform. O gracious God, remove my guilt and pollution. Restore all that I have spoiled. Wash away my sin, but not simply to leave a vacant space. Fill my forgiven heart with sacred gifts and a holy compulsion to do your will. Form me into the likeness of Jesus. Wipe clear a clean slate, and then mark it with holy handwriting. Redeem my unworthiness, that you may be glorified in my being. I would be nothing. Be thou all in all. Amen.
Our reading today is from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 5 through 7. And he who was seated in the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." Our meditation today is on the word end and is written by Joe Celeska Lang. My husband and I recently watched Station 11, a post-apocalyptic television series based on the 2014 novel by Emily St. John Mandel. In the show, most of humankind is wiped out from a deadly flu virus. The few survivors must find ways to cope in a world without technology, governing systems, or modern conveniences. I know what you're thinking. Why would anyone want to watch a show about a fictional pandemic when we're literally living through the real thing? For us and many others, the appeal of Station 11 is that it's ultimately a story of hope. The pollution-free landscapes are lush, the water is clear, the night sky is crowded with stars. Lonely characters find community, aimless characters find meaning. In an article for Yes Media, Lee Fink argues that part of our culture's long-held fascination with apocalyptic stories is that even amid death and destruction, they often offer hope for a reimagined future. Literature scholar Wes Burdine quoted Fink's article and puts it this way: "End-of-the-world narratives allow us to imagine large-scale rebirth and play into our utopian desires." In other words, the popularity of apocalyptic stories reveals an important truth about humanity. We yearn to see the world reborn into a better version of itself. Christians know that our innate desire for utopia exists because God's design for the world was utopic. In the beginning, the world was perfect, untainted by sin. The landscapes were lush, the waters were clear, the skies were crowded with stars. Humans lived in harmony with each other and with God. Then, of course, sin entered the world and brought it with it disease, corruption, destruction, and death. But God made a promise. Through the death and resurrection of his son Jesus, the world would one day be restored to perfection. Scripture makes it clear that we cannot know when the world will end, but we do know that it won't be anything like the movies, where our only hope for restoration lays with feeble, fallible humans. As Christians, we rest in the assurance that when Christ comes again to make all things new, it will be more wonderful than even the most creative human minds can comprehend. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. That's from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. We pray. Almighty Father, the Alpha and Omega, forgive me when I place my hope for renewal in the things of this world instead of in you. During these especially strange and trying times, help me to surrender my anxieties to you and to trust in your perfect promises. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
O Lord, you have given me daily callings, responsibilities, tasks, important work to do. Lord, these are God-given, and so I ask you for your guidance in my daily callings. O Lord, for my occupation. Lord, for growth in my career. For my callings at home, as spouse or son or daughter or brother or sister. Lord, I pray for my work, whatever it may be, that it's good for others, and that it's an extension of your love and care. Lord, I pray for my work that it's not a paycheck, but it's for you. It's not for comfort, but it's to be useful to others. So, Lord, I pray, no profit, no pride, no prestige, just work that is good for you and for others. Lord, I pray for the unemployed, those who lack meaningful work. I pray for those who lack direction. Lord, I pray for discernment, that if you want me to pursue another calling, another task, that you would make that clear and irrefutable, for I want to serve you, Lord. You are the vine, I am a branch. I can do nothing apart from you. In Jesus' name, amen.